ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Naisha ditu sahakshunmam tyaktodam apibadate pibantam tan mukham bhoja chutam hari katham ritam. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly both hungry and thirsty. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. But despite his fast, Maharaj Parikshit was not at all fatigued. The hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me, he said. Once when I felt very thirsty, I went to the ashram of Samik Muni to drink water. But the Muni did not supply it. I therefore wrapped a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by a Brahmin boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman or spirit soul and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. The word Amrita is also an important reference to the moon. And the word ambuja means lotus. The pleasing moonshine and pleasing fragrance of the lotus combined to bring pleasure to everyone hearing Krishna Katha from the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. As it is said, Matirna Krishne Pratasvatova Mito Vipadyete Kriha Pratanam Adanda Gopira Vishatam Tamishram puna punascharvata charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed. Puna punascharvata charvananam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu samsara vartmani, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form, and dying again. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna katha, or Krishna consciousness, is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna katha from a self-realized soul like Shukadeva Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna katha regard the Krishna conscious life as brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Today, on the instruction of some of our senior brahmacharis, we are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 1, Canto 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text Number 13. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the whole world is suffering from spiritual thirst. We all know what it is like when we endure physical thirst of this body. If you have not had food and you have not had water for days, somehow you could live without food for a while, but without water is very difficult. Those of you who have practiced Nirjal Ekadasi, I think your experience is you hanker more for water than food. When a person is in a desert, under the hot sun, no shade, blazing sand, days without water, one would give anything for water. If that person had crores of rupees in a bank account in Bombay, he would be happy to give all of it for a glass of water. Because the crores of rupees cannot save his life. But that burning pang of thirst will be the very cause of his death. In such a state, one even ceases because one is longing for water so much. One sees the mirage, the illusion that water exists. And with all one's strength, one somehow or other runs to that place, only to drink a handful of hot sand. So yes, we know the physical body, when it is starving to death from water. Apply this same principle to the soul. That is the condition. The soul is thirsting for Krishna. And within this material world, because people are so much lacking Krishna consciousness, the soul is starving, starving for Krishna. We become discomforted when we do not have water for a day. But the soul has been deprived of the water it desperately needs for millions of births. And it's constantly trying to satisfy itself by running toward the mirages within the desert of material existence, thinking it will find happy there. In the mirage, there is an illusory form of satisfaction to the body and maybe the mind. But we are not this body. We are not this mind. We are the spirit soul. It is the spirit soul that is identifying with the sufferings and the enjoyments that come upon us, as in a dream. If you dream that you're starving or that you're falling from a high mountain, actually you're not. You're perfectly safe. But because you're identifying with that body that's falling from the mountain, you're suffering. The soul identifies itself with a suffering condition. Like a fish that has been swept up onto the sand. We're in an unnatural condition. We cannot be happy without Krishna. Because Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. It is our nature to serve Krishna and to love Krishna. Without tasting Krishna's love and offering Krishna our love, the soul is starving of thirst. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. But Krishna is so kind. He descends again and again into this world to give his teachings, to perform his pastimes. Now we know that when the Lord appears as Matsyavatar, Varahadev, Kurmadev, Narasimhadev, Parasuram, Ramchandra, Balaram, Krishna, Buddha, Kalki. It is explained that the Lord appears like waves appear in the ocean. So many avatars of the Lord have appeared. Lila avatars, guna avatars, manvantars, yuga avatars, purusha avatars. Essentially, when the Lord descends, some people see him. Some people observe his pastimes. But what he does and what he speaks is repeated by the great souls. Generation after generation after generation, the Lord's words and actions have been repeated by the great souls. And at the coming of Kali Yuga, when people cannot remember what they hear so much, the Lord descends again as Srila Vyasadeva to compile the Vedic literatures. So it is in book form. The Smriti, the Shruti, the Shastra. In other words, the Lord comes to save us through Krishna Katha. Seeing us futilely chasing after the mirages to satisfy our thirst, the Lord comes with the real nectar. He speaks it, He acts it, and He gives people from all time, in all places, the opportunity to hear it. Because Krishna is absolute. The sound of Krishna's teachings are none different than Krishna personally standing before you, teaching you. Hayagriva Prabhu told us the story when they were at this Dr. Mishra's yoga ashram. He was sleeping outside under the stars. It was a summer night. And he had a dream, and he told Prabhupada the dream. He said, I saw Krishna teaching Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and then I saw you teaching Bhagavad Gita to me. And in the dream, it seemed like it was the same thing. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you have understood. This is parampara. Krishna is in your heart. If you open the pages of Bhagavad Gita, you should understand Krishna is speaking to you. And through the mercy of the great spiritual masters and their purports, the understanding is fully accessible to us. Shukadeva Goswami is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And the person who speaks the Bhagavatam sits on Vyasasan. That means it's the seat of Vyas. The guru is Shukadeva Goswami. And one is only entitled to sit on the seat of Vyas if one repeats, through parampara, the words of Vyas. It is Vyasadeva speaking, Shukadeva Goswami speaking, all the acharyas speaking, Krishna speaking. That is Krishna Katha. But what is the qualification of one who speaks and what is the qualification of one who hears? That is very important for the effect to actually have its real benefit. The Bhagavatam explains itself. The sages of Naima Sharanya tell what was the qualification of Suta Goswami to speak. He was gentle. He was obedient to his authorities. He heard very carefully from Shukadeva Goswami, his guru. And because he served his guru and the sages with humble devotion, and he was carrying their compassion to others, by his good qualities. What he heard, he is speaking in a spirit of servitude. One who speaks with that spirit can actually connect us to the mercy of the Guru Parampara. And the qualification of a hearer is like Parikshit Maharaj. We must be eager. Eager to hear. Eager to understand. Eager to apply it to our life. Eager to serve. Transcendental knowledge is like a seed. And our heart is like the field. Our service attitude makes the field fertile. If you put a good seed on a piece of rock, it will not grow well. If you put it on very hard, parched, dry land, it will really, really struggle to somehow or other grow very slowly, if at all. But if you put that same seed in soft, fertile soil, it takes root and grows prosperously. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasvena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatva darshana. The spiritual master should be self-realized. Repeating the words of the self-realized souls. And the disciple should be submissive. First, one should surrender. One should surrender with simplicity and humility. That's the first qualification. Then inquire with a submissive heart. And have a genuine eagerness to serve. That makes the heart soft. That attitude. Parikshit Maharaj was eager to hear the Bhagavatam. Yayatamam prapadyante tam stadaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. Krishna is not different than his message. If we approach the message falling asleep, then Krishna will make his message like a lullaby to put you to sleep. And that's what you'll get from it. Sleep. Some benefit will be there, but minimal. If you want to hear the message because you just want to learn it intellectually so I could speak it and then people will honor me, you may get that. You'll get an intellectual memorization of the subject and you'll be able to spellbound other people by speaking it. That's your motivation. But the message will not really take root in your heart very well. We have to have lobha. Lobha means greed. Spiritual greed. Like a starving, thirsty person who needs water. That is why, unfortunately, it is often the case that to really listen carefully, we have to be suffering. When you're feeling real good, sometimes you read Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's books, and yes, this is very nice. It answers some of my questions. What's next? But when there's a real dilemma in your life, when there's a serious crisis, Prabhupada, please speak to me. I need help. Then when you read, he speaks to you. And you find help. Every page, everywhere, speaking right to you. He is speaking right to you. He's always speaking right to you. But we can only receive it, understand it properly, when there's a desperate feeling of eagerness. Parikshit Maharaj was to die in 7 days. And he understood that this message would determine the destiny of his soul. He was in rapt attention. And he was so grateful so grateful that Shukadev Goswami and all the sages have come to bless him. Because of that eagerness to receive their blessings, he did not fatigue. Even though hunger and thirst were there, Srila Prabhupada explains, he's a human. His body was obviously feeling hunger and thirst. But it didn't disturb him because he was so absorbed in tasting the sweet flow of the Ganges water of Krishna Katha. That sense of urgency, that sense of necessity. Thirst brings about a feeling of necessity. You can't really enjoy food unless there's a necessity. If you're not hungry, if there's a big, big Sunday feast, and then someone comes after you stuff yourself beyond your limits, and then someone comes and gives you your favorite preparation, can you enjoy it? It makes you sick, the thought of eating it. But when you're hungry, even something that you ordinarily don't like so much, it tastes like nectar. Hunger must be there. Thirst must be there. It creates a necessity. Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us by his example how to overcome impediments within this material world by being absorbed in Krishna. We can cross beyond all impediments. We may physically overcome them or not, but we will transcend them. See, Krishna tells us in Gita, it's not a matter of success or failure, or victory or defeat. It's a matter of transcending these dualities. Krishna tells Arjuna, try to win, but don't be attached to winning or losing. Just depend on me. Just fix your mind on me. Duryodhana was trying to win, and Arjuna was trying to win. Duryodhana was a complete slave of the dualities, and Arjuna transcended the dualities because he was absorbed in remembering Krishna. Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim na namaskar. Krishna promises, you will attain me without fail if you just become absorbed in me. There's a verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the most difficult impediments and obstacles are easily overcome. But one who forgets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the easiest things become impossible. Now some of you rational, logical, realistic thinkers are saying, well, so many people who never think of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're successful in so many ways, they're overcoming so many impediments. How is that possible? And we see devotees, sometimes so many problems. We're talking about actually overcoming obstacles. Overcoming obstacles means transcending the obstacles. It doesn't mean just head on the physical mental platform being victorious. Arjuna was taught, even if you lose this battle, if you're absorbed in me, you are victorious. Hare Krishna. And if you win the battle and forget me, you lose. So yes, if we remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can overcome all the obstacles that keep us away from Krishna. That's the real victory, to be reunited with Krishna. Yoga means to be reunited with Krishna. Whatever the situation may be, if we can simply remember Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, absorb, to the degree we're absorbed in Him, to that degree we are victorious. We transcend all the obstacles on the path by the grace of the Lord. In order to be absorbed, we must feel the necessity to hear His glories, to remember Him, the necessity to connect with Him through chanting His holy names. Materialistic people, they may become they may win elections and become presidents or chief ministers or whatever. But spiritually, if they're not remembering the Lord, they've been completely defeated by the obstacles of prestige, of material conditioning, and everything else. That's why devotees who really understand things a little deeply are never envious. Someone may have something much greater, but we understand that very attachment that they have, that very position they have, is defeating them. Because it's keeping them bound to the repetition of birth and death, because they're attached to it. But if they're absorbed in Krishna, whether they're a chief minister, prime minister, president, CEO, or a simple brahmachari sweeping the floor, they've overcome all impediments. Because the only real impediment is the illusion that keeps us away from Krishna. The illusion that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, and I am the proprietor. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna consciousness is a solution. And what is Krishna consciousness? To overcome all obstacles by being absorbed with Krishna. And how to be absorbed in Krishna? Krishna has arranged it so nicely through Krishna Katha, through hearing about Krishna. When we hear about Krishna, naturally we want to repeat the message, Sravanam Kirtanam. When we're hearing and we're repeating Smaranam, we're remembering naturally, we're absorbed. Such a simple, sublime process, even a child can perform it and become perfect. It only requires that we are sincere. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed to die, he didn't just go into the forest alone to perform tapasya. He went where there was the best possible association. He went to the bank of the Ganga, and all the great sages and rishis came from all over the world and the universe. Parikshit Maharaj didn't say, "Leave me alone." He fell at all of their feet. "Stay with me. Never leave me. Please enlighten me." And ultimately they decided Shukadeva Goswami, on behalf of all the rest of them, would enlighten him. The association of devotees who are eager to hear and chant the glories of the Lord will give us that eagerness. What and who we associate with determines very much our internal attitude. If we associate with people who very much are fond of gossip, prajalpa, criticizing others, then the weeds within our heart that are inclined toward those things will be fertilized and watered profusely, and those weeds will grow and increase our attitude toward those things. If we associate intimately with people, even devotees, who are very much compromising the pure principles of Krishna consciousness, the tapasya of accepting what's favorable for devotional service and rejecting what's unfavorable for devotional service. We will get strength by associating with people who are striving for that. And if we're with people who are not striving for that, it will weaken us. Association is so important. We have a necessity to become eager, intensely eager to hear and chant. So we want to associate with people who are intensely eager to hear and chant, or people who are striving and praying and crying out to become intensely eager to hear and chant. When you're in college, it's very nice to associate with the professor and hear from him. But it's also very, very important for us to associate with other good students who are like us, who are really struggling to get good grades. So the association of devotees is the only means by which the development of eagerness to hear and chant will grow and be sustained. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, the last 7 days of his life spent on the bank of Ganga with the great Vaishnavas. And you know, it wasn't only Parikshit Maharaj who was eagerly listening to Shukadev Goswami. Everyone there was. There's no record that anyone got up to get food or drink. Maybe some people did. But everyone was absorbed. And that collective energy was very much helping Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Machchita Madgata Prana Bodhyanta Parasma. Nityam tushanti charamanti cha. My devotees, they derive great satisfaction and bliss discussing amongst one another topics about me. Everyone is looking for bliss. They're going to the Bollywood cinemas, they're going to the permit rooms and the taverns, they're going to their offices. They're getting married and having children. Everyone, whatever they're doing, they're looking for bliss. But my devotees, they come together to discuss topics about me, to chant and hear my glories. And that is where they find their bliss. This eagerness is so important. And there are unlimited examples. Srinivasacharya. He was born in that Chakandi and Jajigram area. He was living. His father, Chaitanya Das, from his earliest childhood, father was telling him stories about Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Krishna Katha means hearing about Krishna and hearing about the devotees. Because the devotees surrender their lives to Krishna, hearing about a devotee is none different than hearing about Krishna. So Chaitanya Das was constantly immersed in telling his son about Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar Pandit, about all the associates especially. Narahari Sarakar, Sri Raghunandan, Mukunda Das, and little Srinivas was just born and raised. That's all he wanted to do, was hear this subject from his father. He performed all his duties, but he was energized by Krishna Katha. And then, when he came of age, his longing was to meet Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. So the first opportunity possible, with the permission of his relatives, he walked the road to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His heart was throbbing with anticipation of meeting the Lord, seeing the Lord, serving the Lord. After a whole life of hearing the glories, can you imagine his eagerness? He was in the outskirts of Puri. He saw some people coming the other way, lamenting. He asked directions. I'm going to Puri. Where will I find Lord Chaitanya? I said, do you know why we're lamenting? Lord Chaitanya has just ended his earthly pastimes and returned to the spiritual world. He's gone. Srinivasacharya was pulling his hair out, beating his chest. He fell unconscious. He decided, what is the use of my life? Everything I've always longed for is impossible to achieve now. I will enter fire. He was young. He was beautiful. He had a whole life ahead of him, if he wanted. But there was nothing else he wanted except to serve the Lord. He was actually ready to enter fire. That was his determination. Dhritavrata. And Krishna reciprocates with our determination. While he was laying there unconscious, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally and directly appeared to him in a dream. His beautiful golden form. Srinivasacharya in the dream, all his desires were fulfilled. He just placed his head and embraced the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord placed his feet on Srinivasacharya's head. And the Lord said, I will go into Puri and study Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And there you will find all your desires fulfilled. How eager he was to study Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar. In Puri, he found Gadadhar in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I'm only living because the Lord has revealed to me that I'm supposed to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm simply sitting here waiting for you. But there's a problem. Every day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and myself would read Srimad Bhagavatam for so many hours, and as we'd read, we'd cry in the ecstasy of love for Krishna. Look at the book. The words are all merged together due to our tears. It's impossible to teach you. Go to Srikanda, to Narahari Sarakar, and he will arrange another Srimad Bhagavatam to be made for you. Now in those days, Srimad Bhagavatams, you had to have someone scratch in palm leaves and then get dyes from the herbs of the ground to scrape over that scratching to make like an ink. All 18,000 verses. There were no printing presses. Now you go to any airport in America and people are trying to force you to take a Srimad Bhagavatam. In those days, you had to wait months to get a Srimad Bhagavatam handwritten. So he went all the way to Srikanda, got the Srimad Bhagavatam made, brought it back to Puri, eager, so eager to learn from Gadadhar Pandit the pleasure potency of Krishna, none different than Srimati Radharani. The essence and culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is the love of Radha for Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. Who is a better teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally instructed him to do so. He was so eager. He came to the outskirts of Puri with his new Srimad Bhagavatam. When he got the news, Gadadhar Pandit couldn't wait any longer. In his separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has returned to the spiritual world. Again he fell down. So, I will enter fire. Beating his chest, beating his head against a stone in separation from this great personality. But then Gadadhar Pandit, the Lord reciprocates with our eagerness. And how the Lord reciprocates is beyond and transcendental to any of the limitations of this material existence. If the Lord wants to show His mercy on us, there is no geographical or time-framed impediments. He can appear in any way He pleases. He is abhigya and He is swarat. He's independent. He creates time. He creates the universal existence. If we're simply eager and sincere, the Lord will save us. The Lord will appear to us somehow or other. So Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him in a vision. Srinivasacharya, seeing him, is weeping tears of ecstasy. Gadadhar Pandit put his feet on Srinivasa's head and blessed him and told him, eventually you should go to Vrindavan to see Rupa and Sanatan. They will teach you Srimad Bhagavatam, but first go to Srikanda to see Narahari Sarakar. He will instruct you. He went to Srikanda. He stayed and was learning under Narahari Sarakar for some time. And he told him, you should go to Karadaha to study and take the blessings under Janava Devi, the eternal consort of Nityananda Prabhu. So he went to Karadaha. There he fell at the feet of Janava Devi, stayed with her for some time. She said, you should go to Vrindavan to meet Rupa and Sanatan and study Bhagavatam from them, but first go to Abhiram Thakur in a village not far from here. He went there. Abhiram Thakur is Subal, most intimate cowherd boy, Gopa, in Krishna's Leela, who had descended in this form. He was willing and eager to give his blessings and teach Srinivas, but he wanted to test his service attitude. Because one is actually only receptive to Krishna's mercy to the degree we have a selfless, unconditional service attitude. Janava Devi taught this principle, that if we serve a Vaishnav with an expectation of something in return, we will not really get the blessing of that Vaishnav. We get the blessing when our service attitude is unconditional. We're doing it to please the Vaishnav. Krishna tells in the Adi Purana that worship of my devotee is more dear to me than worshiping me personally. There's nothing higher than Vaishnav Seva, because it's the most direct and powerful means of winning Krishna's hearts. Sadhunam hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam tvaham. Krishna tells in the 9th canto that the sadhu, my devotee, has given his heart to me, and I reciprocate accordingly. Therefore, I have given my heart to my devotee. My devotees are the proprietors of my heart. Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas Thakur, I am a prisoner in your heart. You have conquered me. So when we serve a devotee, we conquer Krishna. When you please the heart of a Vaishnav, you conquer Krishna, because Krishna is within the heart of that Vaishnav, and that's where he likes to be most. And that's where he is most munificent in extending his blessings from the inner heart of his devotee. Service attitude. Let me test him. So, Srinivasacharya came. Abhiram Thakur said, I'll give you some bhoga. Go to the bank of the Ganga, cook it, eat it, and come back. He gave him just enough, only for himself. Srinivasacharya goes to the bank of the Ganga, he collects some cow dung, he makes it into, he lights it in fire, makes a little stove out of some rocks, puts a pot on top of it, spends the afternoon cooking it, offering it. He hadn't eaten in days. He was actually starving. He traveled without eating for days. Then Abhiram calls some of his disciples, said, go over to Srinivas's, where over the bank of the Ganga. You see that boy there? Go over and see if he offers you his food. And if he does, eat it, all of it. So they go, and Srinivasacharya sees them and says, oh, please take prasad. They said, oh, very nice. We were hoping you would ask this question. After offering all the prasad, Srinivas serves it. They eat every morsel. And Srinivasacharya is in ecstasy. He's not hiding some. He's not saying, please leave some remnants for me. He just said, please eat to your full satisfaction. Well, what about you? You go, no, there's so much more. Don't worry about it. Just take it. Ate everything. Abhiram was watching. He was happy. Yes, he has a service attitude. He likes to serve the Vaishnavas. He's more happy about making Vaishnavas happy than even his own survival. He is qualified for mercy. And Abhiram Thakur was so ecstatic, he had a whip named Jai Mangala. Now, most people would not like to be hit by a whip. But this whip, anyone he touched with it, would attain love of God. So he took that whip, and he said, Srinivas! And Srinivas, tears started pouring from his eyes.
whipped him again. Hair started standing on end. He was crying out the names of Krishna. He was dancing. Whipped him a third time. He was just going out of control in ecstatic love. Finally, Abhiram's wife says, "Stop! Stop! He's just a boy. How much ecstasy can he contain?" He studied under Abhiram Thakur for some time. And then Abhiram Thakur said the same thing that Gadadhar Pandit, Janava Devi, and Narahari Sarakar told him. Go to Vrindavan and study under Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So he traveled to Vrindavan by foot. No, spice airways or anything like that. Not even Indian railways. He walked by foot. And he came to Vishram Ghat. How eager he was. He is in Mathura, bathing in the Yamuna. The same place Krishna would bathe. The same place Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first bathed when he entered into Braj Mandala. How excited he was. And tomorrow morning he was thinking, I'll walk to Vrindavan and I will meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Oh, he was so happy. He was so eager. While he's taking his bath, he's hearing some Brahmins talking. Oh, how lamentable. Some time back, Sanatan Goswami left this world. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami left the world. And Kashishwar Pandit left this world. And now, just now, Rupa Goswami has left this world to return to the Lord in the spiritual abode. When Srinivasacharya heard that, he was wailing in tears. But because of that eagerness, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami appeared to him, said, go to Vrindavan. Study Srimad Bhagavatam under Jiva Goswami and take initiation under Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And we will give our full blessings to you through them. So he went. He came to the Govindaji temple, saw the beautiful form of Radha Govinda, worshipped him and just couldn't contain his happiness. At night, he actually was laying unconscious at the door of Govindaji. The news came to Jiva Goswami that he had come. They had to get lights and find him laying at the doorway. Jiva Goswami picked him up, brought him to Radha Damodar temple, and introduced him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Srinivasacharya said, I am the most fallen, insignificant. My only hope, my only shelter is please accept me as your eternal servant. Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated him and then told him to study under Jiva Goswami, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the literatures of the Goswamis, which are all expansions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Soon Narottam Das Thakur came. He took initiation from Lokanath Goswami and was a classmate of Srinivasacharya and Shyamananda Prabhu, who was then Duki Krishna. He came from Orissa. And the three of them studied under Jiva Goswami. Later on, all the Vaishnavas, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they all blessed them. Janava Devi, who is our guru, she wants the literatures of the Goswamis to be distributed in Bengal. Take them. Go and preach there. Lokanath Goswami instructed Narottam Das Thakur, you should install the deity of Krishna, you should preach Harikatha, Nam Sankirtan, and most of all, teach people the glories of serving the Vaishnavas.
We know the story.
In Bhiram, in Vanavishnupuram, the books were all stolen by a dacoit king named Bhirambir.
Srinivasacharya told the others,
who were all devastated, the books of the Goswamis gone forever, and it's our fault. We were sleeping and they got stolen.
Srinivasacharya said, Narottam Das Thakur,
you've already been given the instruction by your gurus to go back to your home in Khetri to preach.
Shamananda Goswami, you've already been given your instruction. Go back to Utkala to preach. So they left. And eventually, the king not only gave the books back to Srinivasacharya, but became his disciple and made the entire kingdom the disciples of Srinivasacharya.
Day and night in Vanavishnupuram, there was nothing but Harikatha and Harikirtan.
Srinivasacharya went back to Jajigram area in Bengal. One day there was a wedding procession, according to the Prem Vilas of Nityananda Das. There was a wedding procession. And Srinivasacharya said, loud enough so that the groom could hear him. He said, oh, you are enjoying so much with expectations of happiness in this temporary material world where everything is a source of misery. You are thinking that getting more further entangled and bound in sense gratification is making happiness. What you do is you have tied a rope into a noose of death around your neck, and you're thinking that by pulling it, you're going to be happy.
Hare Krishna.
Ramchandra Kaviraj heard this. A few days later, he came to Srinivasacharya's ashram. And one of Srinivasacharya's main disciples, his name was Vyasacharya. He saw this person named Ramchandra. And he said, I want you to have a discussion, a debate with Vyasacharya. So they were debating. And Ramchandra was such an amazing scholar. He was defeating all the logic of Vyasacharya. Srinivasacharya was really amazed to see this. So then Srinivasacharya started debating with Ramchandra. And Srinivas was really just in bliss to see the powerful scholarship of this Brahman. And after debating for hours and hours and hours, Srinivasacharya said, you are a very learned scholar. I'm very pleased to see your scholarship, but it is all nonsense. All your scholarships, all this grammar, all this Sanskrit, so what? Unless you understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, you miss the essence of everything. You've wasted your life. Ramchandra fell at the feet of Srinivasacharya crying and said, that is why I have come here, to surrender to you, to study Srimad Bhagavatam.
I am your eternal servant.
Now Srinivasacharya, we understand his eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from what we have just recently spoke. And the different gurus he learned from directly and indirectly. Srinivasacharya instructed Ramchandra in Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy. Harikatha, the nectar of sharing Krishna consciousness. Later on, when there was that glorious festival in Kethari, for the first Gaur Purnima festival, Narottam Das Thakur came to Jajigram and told Srinivasacharya, this is what I want to do. Invite all the Vaishnavas from all directions to have the first major festival to celebrate the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. And my cousin brother, Santosh, he's going to spend the treasury of the kingdom to facilitate this festival. And the Lord has appeared to me and told me to install 6 deities. They're being made. So the festival was arranged. These 6 deities. They were carved out of first-class marble and stone, granite. There were 5 sets of Radha Krishna deities. And Lord Chaitanya wanted 1 deity of himself, Gauranga. He had the best craftsmen carving these deities out of the stone of Lord Chaitanya. But every time Narottam Das Thakur saw it, he said, it's not good enough. It has to be more beautiful. It has to be more accurate. This is not satisfactory. You see, sometimes we go to Jaipur to get a deity made and then it's just totally in the hands of the craftsmen there. But Narottam Das Thakur, he wanted these deities perfect according to how Krishna was revealing himself to Narottam. So several attempts, and Narottam Das Thakur could not accept the deity of Lord Chaitanya that was being made. And he was becoming really in anxiety, because Gaur Purnima was coming very soon, and he had to install a deity. So he cried out to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unless you bestow your mercy, unless you appear in the form of the carvings that they're making, then there's no hope. My Lord, please appear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in a vision to Narottam Das Thakur. Are you all still awake? Are you eager to hear? You're making me eager to speak also, thank you. Otherwise, I'm quite dead. So, Lord Chaitanya appeared to Narottam Das. And he said, your craftsmen have made all these deities of me, and none of them came out right. Hari Bol, His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.
I don't want to be like Roma Harshan Sutta, so please forgive me for a moment.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Narottam Das Thakur,
in this vision, the reason every time that deity wala keeps making deities wrong is because I will not allow him to make a deity of me proper. And I will tell you the reason why. The deity has already been made. Before I took sannyas in Srinavadvipdham, I had someone make a deity of me personally. I took that deity and put it in the Ganges. No one else has ever seen it.
But because, Narottam Das, you are so dear to me, because your love for me and my love for you,
I am going to reveal that deity to you. Go to the outskirts of Kethuri. There is a merchant named, what was his name? There is a merchant who has a granary. Within that silo of grains, I am waiting for you.
Narottam Das Thakur went to the outskirts of town. Vipradas. He was asking everyone, where is the house of Vipradas? He said, he's there. He went to Vipradas and said, you have a granary?
He said, no.
But I heard you had a granary.
He said, no. Don't ask about that granary. That means you have a granary. He said, don't ask about that granary. Years ago, I had a full stock of grains there. But it was infested with poisonous snakes. I invested so much money. It's a major loss. I called mystics. I called snake charmers. They chanted mantras to somehow or other get the snakes out of my granary. But the more mantras they chanted, the louder and more angry the serpents hissed. So I just boarded it up and closed it forever. It's been years. Narottam Das Thakur said, I'm going inside. There's someone waiting for me in there.
Vipra said, no, no, don't go. He said, I'm going. And all the townspeople in that area were, they knew about this story. They were screaming at Narottam Das Thakur, don't go, you will die, there's venomous snakes. But he was smiling. He had complete faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He walked right to the silo, opened the door, and as soon as he opened the door, all the serpents came flooding out and entered into the forest. Narottam Das Thakur went into the granary, and the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came right onto his lap. He carried it out. Everyone was watching. A beautiful, solid, gold deity of Mahaprabhu about this big. He didn't really get a chance to look at it so well. He was just performing his seva. He performed Harinam, carrying the deity back to Kethuri Gram, where all of the devotees were following behind him. It was a wonderful festival. He came into his bhajan kutir and placed the deity down. And as he looked at the face of the deity, tears of love poured from his eyes. He offered his obeisances, and just then and there, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to invent, not exactly invent, but to reveal a special form of kirtan that is sung in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur danced. And when he danced, everyone around could see he danced just like Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivasacharya, Janava Devi, and all the living associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all came to Kethuri Gram to perform this Gaur Purnima festival where the deities were installed. After the festival, during the festival, Ramchandra and who actually had already gone to Vrindavan with Srinivasacharya, he was given by Jiva Goswami the title Ramchandra Kaviraj. He and Narottam Das Thakur became intimate, loving friends. Such loving friends. Srinivasacharya saw that and told his disciple, you go and remain always with Narottam Das Thakur. And our Vaishnava literatures tell the relationship between Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. They were inseparable. They would take prasad together. They would bathe together. They would sleep in the same room together. They would cook together. They would wake up for the Mangal Arati and celebrate every morning together. They would dress the deities together. They would serve the Vaishnavas together. They would perform Nam Sankirtan together. But in all circumstances, whatever they were doing practically, they were always discussing Krishna together. Krishna Katha. Machchita matkata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantascha mam nityantoshyanti charamanticha. Always absorbed in hearing and speaking about Krishna together with eagerness. And therefore their love became so deep. When Janava Devi, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, when she saw the relationship of Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur, she was struck with wonder. After the Kethari festival, she went to Vrindavan. Lokanath Goswami was very eager to find out about how his disciple Narottam Das Thakur is doing. She told him that there is no Vaishnav like your disciple Narottam Thakur. No disciple like this. How he worships the deity with such love. And how he serves the Vaishnavas. The love, the care. He's the very personification of Vaishnav etiquette. His life and his soul is to satisfy the Vaishnavas in every possible way, with love from his heart. And the friendship he has with Ramchandra Kaviraj, Janava says, they are like one soul in two bodies. The deep commitment of friendship that they have to each other in sharing Krishna through Krishna's seva, through Krishna katha. I can understand that these two personalities are fully blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of the love that they have for each other and the camaraderie they have in speaking about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, and most of all, serving the Vaishnavas together. Gopal Bhatta Goswami asked Janava about his disciple Srinivasacharya. And he praised so much Srinivasacharya's love, his devotion. He said, not only do you have the greatest disciple, but you have the greatest disciple of a disciple. Ramchandra Kaviraj. In fact, your disciple and his disciple are equal in every way. Ramchandra Kaviraj may have been equal in every way to Srinivas Acharya, but still, he surrendered and served him as the most humble menial servant. That is the spirit of a Vaishnava. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he served Ishwara Puri, his Guru Maharaj, with humble menial service from his heart. He asked Ishwara Puri to instruct him submissively. But first, he served his guru with his own hands. He cooked for him, washed and cleaned up for him. And Ishwara Puri told him that you are a fool. Don't even consider trying to understand Vedanta. Just chant the holy names. I will give you a sloka, which is a crest jewel sloka. Never forget it. Keep it in your heart, always. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way except the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya started chanting, and he came back to his guru, and he said, I don't know what this mantra has done to me. I'm crying and I'm shivering and I'm... He said, that is very good, my son. You have attained love of God, the ecstasy which is the perfection of life. Now go and spread this Nam Sankirtan movement in all directions throughout the world. That is my order. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not begin his Nam Sankirtan movement, which is why he descended from the spiritual world, until he received that order. Vaishnava etiquette. Lord Chaitanya came to teach by his example how to be a devotee. Meanwhile, Shamananda, he went to Orissa and he was preaching and so many people were coming and accepting pure devotional service as the goal of life. One time, with his disciples, he was performing Nam Sankirtan through the streets of some town in Orissa. There was a Mughal king whose general representative hated Hindus, hated them, outlawed any type of practice. And here's Shamananda and his devotees playing mridangas and karatals and loudly crying out, filling the entire atmosphere with the Maha Mantra. This general's name was Sher Khan. Do you all know the story? He was furious, beside himself with anger. He went and started beating the devotees, breaking every mridanga, seizing the karatals, throwing them away. While he was doing that, Shamananda Goswami mystically started screaming out Krishna's holy name so loud. It was superhuman. It was an emergency. He was screaming out Krishna's holy names. And as he screamed out, the power of his voice and the power of the name of God caused Sher Khan and all of his associates, the army, their beards and their mustaches blazed in fire. And suddenly they started vomiting blood from their mouth and their nose.
They left the scene. The next day, Shyamananda Goswami had a bigger Sankirtan party with new murdungas and kartals. And they were dancing through the streets, more loudly chanting the holy names. Again, Shere Khan comes on the scene. Everybody's wondering, now what? Shere Khan falls at the lotus feet of Shyamananda Goswami. On his knees with folded hands, he says, I surrender to you. Let me tell you what happened. Yesterday, when we tried to disturb you, my beard set on fire. The first time in my life, blood was coming out of my mouth and my nose. I was wondering, what's happening? In confusion, I went to sleep that night. And the almighty, reverential form of Allah appeared before me and told me, you have committed a great offense to me. They were chanting my holy names. And then I saw the all-powerful form of Allah transform into the beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He smiled upon me. He was dancing. I fell at his feet and surrendered. And he told me that if you want to attain love of God, you must become a disciple of Shyamananda Goswami, and he will deliver you. So I have come to become your disciple. Please accept this most fallen, wretched, offensive creature as your eternal servant. And he initiated him. The power of Hari Katha and the power of Hari Kirtan. Can I tell you another story about Hari Kirtan? This story is connected to Pune. According to our Vaishnav literatures, a very special person of Pune had a very, very significant role in our Vaishnav history. In Bengal, there was a very learned and honored Brahmin of the name Lakshminath Lahiri. He was highly regarded as a great scholar. He had a son whose name was Rupa Chandra. And he expected his son to carry on his legacy of scholarship. But there was a problem. Rupa Chandra refused to go to school. His father wanted to send him to school. The child was just so mischievous, he just wouldn't go to school. Father tried to do everything to get him to go to school, but he was so stubborn, he just would not go to school and he would not study. Any of your parents have that problem? Listen to the story. If you do have a child that has this problem, this may give you some hope. Rupa Chandra annoyed his father so much because he would not go to school. He would not pick up a book. He would not do any studies. He just wanted to play. So, just to punish his child, he put some ashes in the child's food one day.
Prasad. And when the child took a bite and he tasted there were ashes in his food, he was so belligerent, he just left home. And after he left home, he wanted to prove to his father he could be a scholar without him. So he went to a place called Panditnadi and started studying Sanskrit, studying scriptures, and he was so determined, he became the greatest student. Then he went to Navadvip, and in Navadvip, he became one of the brightest students. Started learning all the different systems of philosophy. From Navadvip, after gaining more credentials, he went to Jagannath Puri. And there he studied under pundits there. And while he was in Puri, from a distance, he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing. But he kept his distance. From Jagannath Puri, after studying whatever he could learn there, he came to a place which was considered all over India to be a very high seat of learning. This is even 500 years ago. He came to Pune in Maharashtra, according to the Prem Vilas of Nityananda Das. And here, he scrutinizingly studied the Vedas under great pundits in different ashrams and institutions of scholarship. Here in Pune, he became such a scholar of the Vedas that Goddess Saraswati personally empowered him. And Goddess Saraswati herself, so impressed by his scholarship, she gave him the title Acharya. And when he spoke, she was right there to empower him. From Pune, he decided to travel all over India and challenge scholars in debate. Everywhere Rupa Chandra went, he would go to the highest pundits and challenge them and defeated them. And he had something called the Jayapatra, where everybody he defeated had to sign, "I was defeated by Rupa Chandra." In his travels, he ultimately came to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, he heard about the two greatest scholars, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. "I've already defeated the scholars everywhere else in India. This is the last two." He came before Rupa Goswami and his brother Sanatan. "I challenge you to a scholarly, philosophical debate. Any subject." Rupa Goswami looked at him and he bowed down. Rupa Goswami bowed down to him. And then he offered him a very, very nice seat. Then Rupa Goswami offered him prasad and offered him water and offered him all greetings. And after giving him every kind of loving, affectionate etiquette, he said, "I don't waste my time with scholarly debates. It's just a waste of time. What is the use?" He said, "No, I challenge you. You must meet my challenge." He said, "I accept defeat. You're better than me. Then sign this document." Both Rupa and Sanatan Goswami signed, "We have been defeated by Rupa Narayan." Amanina manadena. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, what is a Vaishnav? One who offers all respect to others and one who does not demand or expect respect for oneself. That is a Vaishnav. Rupa and Sanatan did not care because they knew what this Rupa Chandra would do. He was going to go all over the world and show everybody, I defeated Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Who cares? Can you imagine if there was internet in those days? Within a day, everyone would think Rupa and Sanatan had been defeated. What they didn't care about what people thought. They were only concerned with pure devotional service. So, he was very happy. He was walking toward the bank of the Jamuna and he met Jiva Goswami. And he told Jiva Goswami, I have just defeated Rupa and Sanatan. And I heard you're also a good scholar. Let me debate with you. Jiva Goswami saw, you never defeated Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They just didn't want to waste their precious time debating with some mundane scholar like you. And you're going to propagate all over the world that you are superior to them? I am their disciple. Through me, I will debate you. They will debate with you. If you defeat me, then you can tell the world you have defeated Rupa and Sanatan. But if I defeat you, then you must tell the world you have been defeated by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Yes, let us debate. According to Nityananda Das, the debate was based on personalism versus impersonalism. Rupa Chandra was preaching this impersonalistic philosophy and Jiva Goswami that the Lord is supremely, eternally, the most beautiful, all-attractive person. And only through devotion can we approach Him and realize our love for Him. They sat at the bank of the Yamuna for 6 full days. Neither of them could overcome the other. On the 7th day, Jiva Goswami defeated Rupa Chandra. In the association of Jiva Goswami and after having the blessings of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's, Rupa Chandra's heart completely changed. He fell at the feet of Jiva Goswami and cried. He said, I am so proud, so materialistic. I even offended your guru, Rupa Goswami. Now I accept myself as your eternal servant. Please forgive me. Jiva Goswami lifted him up and brought him to Rupa Goswami's lotus feet. There he fell at the feet of Rupa Goswami and begged him for forgiveness. I am so low, so materialistic. I've wasted my whole life with mundane academics, but not even understanding the whole purpose behind it. Srameva hi kevalam. Whatever pursuits we may perform in life, if they do not culminate in a taste for hearing about Krishna, they're all just a useless waste of time. So, Rupa Chandra begged Rupa Goswami for initiation. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami told him that we will give you Harinam initiation into the Maha Mantra. And you should chant this mantra 1 lakh times every day. 64 rounds. And your Diksha Mantra, the Gopal Mantra, will be given to you by Narottam Das Thakur. They had never met Narottam Das Thakur yet. I don't even know if he was born yet. They told him,
that sometime in the future, when Narottam Das Thakur is 12 years old, he will leave his home in Khetarigram and come here to Vrindavan and take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami. And then he will return on the order of Jiva Goswami. He will return to his village in Khetarigram. And someday, in the future years, you should surrender to him and become his disciple. Rupa Chandra remained for several months learning the Vaishnava philosophy from Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and all of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He learned about the supreme glories of Vrindavan, about the topmost path of pure devotional service as it is performed by the gopis of Vrindavan. He was taught about the glories of the holy name and the total necessity of lovingly serving the Vaishnavas, seeking the association of the Vaishnavas. After months of living in Vrindavan, they told him that there is a great king. What was his name? Raj Narasingha? You should go and you should find him. This Raj Narasingha Dev, together you will both, after many years, find shelter in the feet of Narottam Das Thakur. So on their instruction, he left there, went to Jagannath Puri, and eventually one day when he was going to bathe in the Ganges, he met Raj Narasingha. And he took him, and Rupa, actually there's a nice story I forgot to tell. One day when Rupa Chandra was sitting with Rupan Sanatan Goswami, they all saw he was developing such deep devotion that Lord Narayan appeared right in front of all of them and entered into Rupa Chandra's heart. Rupa Goswami said, from this day on, your name will be Rupa Narayan. So Rupa Narayan went with to this Raj Divya Narasingha, and he was like the court pundit for the king. Years and years passed. One day some Brahmins came to the king. Rupa Narayan was sitting there. And they had serious complaints. They said, you as the king must protect the Brahminical culture. It is your duty. You must. There is this Kayasta Sudra named Narottam. He's living in Khetari. He's spoiling our culture. He must be stopped. First of all, he's a Shudra. And he's performing the great offense of giving initiation, diksha, to Brahmins. Not only that, instead of studying various Vedantic scriptures, he's always dancing and screaming out loud the names of God. These names of God are meant to be silently repeated within the heart. This is sacrilegious. And he's misguiding the society Tens and thousands of people are following him. And you know what the result is? People are giving up the worship of demigods. And worse than that, they're no longer eating meat. They're becoming vegetarians. They're no longer drinking wine. They're all becoming... they're giving up these sacred rituals of drinking wine and eating meat. They're polluting the whole atmosphere. You must punish them. Raj Narasingha looks at Rup Narayan. Rup Narayan looks at the king. They said, this looks like the perfect opportunity to meet Narottam Das Thakur. So the king said, yes, all of you, we will go to the king, we will go to Khetarigram, and you can have a debate against Narottam Das Thakur. And if you defeat him in the debate, then we will stop him. That was just a ploy. Actually, they were going to surrender to him. Should I continue? So the king is on his royal palanquin. And Rup Narayan, the royal pundit, is also on a palanquin. And all the Brahmins, the very learned scholarly Brahmins, they were also in royal procession. And they had so many students accompanying them. There was a town, a village just outside of Khetarigram, where they stopped overnight. Meanwhile, Narottam Das Thakur was sent a message by the king that they were coming. So he was making nice arrangements to greet them. But his disciples, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Govinda Kaviraj, they all decided to meet the scholars before they arrived in Khetarigram. Now I told you a little about Ramchandra Kaviraj. Should I say something briefly about the others? There were two brothers named Hari Rama and Ramakrishna. And their father was a great devotee of Bhavani. And he ordered them to get some goat cubs, to purchase a whole herd of goat cubs, little baby goats, to bring back for the Durga Puja to sacrifice them. So they were just, they crossed the river Padmavati and they were bringing the goats back. And they happened to see Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. They were very beautiful. Ramchandra Kaviraj said, what is this? Where are you going with these goats? Oh, they're being offered to Goddess Durga. Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur preached to them. And they let all their goats free and came back to Khetarigram and became the disciples. One became a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, the other Ramchandra Kaviraj. They studied Srimad Bhagavatam under them, learned how to worship the deities, and along with Narottam Das and Ramachandra's Thakur's associates, spent the day in Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. After about a month of studying with their gurus, they returned home. Father was absolutely furious. Nonsense, what do you do? Where were you? And where are the goats? We let them free. Wah! I was waiting for you. You spoiled everything. And they started preaching to them about chanting Hare Krishna. And Father was furious. He hated Vaishnavas, hated them. You will go to hell for this offense.
So Father brought some of his pundits to debate, and the two children defeated him. And then the father called another Digvijay pundit from Mithila named Murari and called him all the way there to debate the children. The children already started converting other Brahmins. This is really becoming seriously. And even the pujari of the temple became a Vaishnav. The father was really upset. So Murari came, this elderly scholar who had defeated thousands of others in his life. All the way from Mithila came to debate these children. And they defeated him. Murari turned to the father and said, "These Vaishnavas are very, very strong. There's nothing we can do." So he was so disturbed. He was actually, due to stress, he was on the verge of death. At that time, Durga Devi appeared to him and said, "Because you are offensive to the Vaishnavas, I am going to sever your head." So he became very serious then. And he said, and she said, "My worshipable Lord is Krishna, who has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should go and surrender to Krishna and follow the line of your sons. Otherwise, you will die." So he became a great devotee. Now, there was a great Brahmin scholar named Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And he happened to see the conversion of Ramakrishna and Hari Rama. Hari Rama, Hari Krishna. Hari Rama and Ramakrishna, yes. And he was astounded. What is the power of this Narottam Das Thakur? So he approached. He was just watching the whole scene. And he had a vision where Narottam Das Thakur appeared to him. And he surrendered his life in that vision. And the next day when he was bathing in the Ganga, Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj came from climbing down a hill, exactly the same form as that vision. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti surrendered to him. When he surrendered, that's when these other Brahmins became so absolutely enraged. "These are our best Brahmins taking initiation from a Shudra. Impossible. Can't allow this." Now, Ramchandra Kaviraj had a brother named Govinda, who was a very, very great devotee of Durga Devi. And he couldn't understand why his brother surrendered to Srinivasacharya. But then he got really sick, and he was on his deathbed. And he wrote a letter to Ramchandra Kaviraj, "You know, please, come and let me see you before I die. I'm in my last days." But Ramchandra was so busy serving his guru, he didn't really pay attention. He got letter after letter. Finally, he showed it to Srinivasacharya. And he said, "Srinivas, if you go, you can deliver him." Meanwhile, as Govinda was about to die, he prayed to Durga Devi to save him. Because there were people around
Durga Devi spoke to him. She did not give a vision, but she spoke to him. She said, "You have served me with so much love and so much devotion for so many years, and I am very pleased with you. So I am going to reveal to you the secret of all secrets. My worshipable Lord is Krishna." Love of Krishna is the real goal of life, and you will attain that when you give your heart and soul to follow in the footsteps of your brother and become the disciple of Srinivasacharya. When Ramchandra Kaviraj and Srinivasacharya arrived, Govinda surrendered. Just before his death, Srinivasacharya was given some sweetmeats as prasad. He ate it. Ramchandra Kaviraj took the remnants and gave it to his brother when he was just on the verge of death. And by eating the remnants of Srinivasacharya, that little sweet, he got a little better. Then the relatives cooked a big feast, and Srinivasacharya offered it to Krishna and his Gurudev. And after eating it, Ramchandra Kaviraj gave the full-fledged Maha-Maha-Prasad of Srinivasacharya to Govinda. And after eating it, his disease was completely eradicated, and he was in perfect health, gradually. Srinivasacharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj, taught Govinda the Siddhanta of the Goswamis. And it was at that time that he wrote a beautiful song and sang it to Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj. They were exceedingly pleased to hear this song. Bajahure mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Ravindare. Bajahure mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Ravindare. Dulabha manava janama satsange. Dulabha manava janama satsange. Taraha eva vasindare. Abhaya charana ravindare. This beautiful song was written at the time when Govinda, who was given the name Govinda Kaviraj, surrendered his heart, his soul, his life to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and took initiation from Srinivasacharya. So when all of these very, very angry Brahmins were in the village waiting tear to pieces Narottam Das Thakur's vicious misconceptions, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Govinda Kaviraj, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, they all went to that village disguised as very, very simple shopkeepers. One sat on the roadside selling betel nuts. The other were selling clay pots. Another was selling spices. They just looked like very, very simple, poor, uneducated merchants. They didn't even have a shop. They were just sitting on the ground with a few things. So the students of the Brahmins went shopping for their gurus. And they hear these merchants discussing in perfect Sanskrit with one another. What is this? Merchants don't speak Sanskrit. They said, oh, we are the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur, that rascal, he's destroying the whole Vedic culture. Who has taught you that? Our gurus. They said, bring your nonsense, rascal, offensive gurus here today to debate with us. So they went and told the Brahmins, this is what these merchants are saying. The merchants complained to Rup Narayan and the king. They said, well, we think you better go debate with them. What's the problem? They're just betel nut sellers. So they went to debate, and Narottam and Rup Narayan and the king also went with them. And there was a debate with these great Brahmin gurus, and all of their ideas were smashed to pieces on every level by the betel nut seller and the clay cup seller. The king told the Brahmins that actually what happened is the Brahmins were so defeated, they said to the king, we think that we better just go home. We better go home. He said, no, we think. You've been defeated by the insignificant peasant students of Narottam Das Thakur. You want to go in there and debate against him? We think you should go and surrender to him. He said, no, we should just go home. There's no way we could stand before him. That night, all the Brahmins had the same dream. Durga appeared to them. How dare you insult Narottam Das Thakur? He is the foremost devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna. And you have offended him. You go and you surrender to him and you become his students and you serve him faithfully, or with this chopper, we're going to cut off your heads. They woke up the next morning and explained this to Rup Narayan and the kings. They said, yes, let us go. And they all went. And all the Brahmins surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur and became his disciple. And Rup Narayan and the king received Diksha mantras from them. Then the king's wife, the queen, came and became his faithful servant. And in this way, Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha were spreading in all directions by the power of these Vaishnavas. Through parampara, the power of the blessings and the love of these acharyas is flowing like the river Ganges. And His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he has come with the same flow of mercy. What we find in Srila Prabhupada's books, what we find coming from Srila Prabhupada's lotus mouth, is the love, the wisdom, and the compassion of all of these great acharyas and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna's eternal love for all living entities.
Today's verse is so beautiful. Parikshit Maharaj is speaking to Shukadev Goswami. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. It is this flow of nectar that Srila Prabhupada has given all of us. The nectar of Krishna Katha, the nectar of Krishna Kirtan. And when we learn to value the loving service of the Vaishnavas, when that service attitude becomes our prominent purpose of living, then our hearts are fertile to receive and be nourished by that river of nectar that is flowing from the mouth of Srila Prabhupada. And when we have that service attitude toward Guru and Vaishnavas, through our life and through our words, that flow of nectar can manifest even from us. There is no more beautiful miracle, and there is no greater pleasure than to see how great souls can empower even small living beings like us to be instruments of their mercy. All of these wonderful personalities that we're talking about today, they were not only absorbed in Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan, but they gave their lives to sharing that supreme blessing with others. To be an instrument of theirs, to give Krishna to others, to share Krishna with each other, is the ultimate good fortune. Vaishnav society is a society where we transcend all barriers of differences, where the different collisions of false ego are not taken seriously, where we make our relationships on the higher platform of sharing Krishna with each other. How do we share Krishna with each other? That is real friendship. That is the most intimate form of congenial love. By chanting together, by dancing together, by speaking about Krishna and devotional service to Krishna together, and by serving one another, by helping one another to overcome the obstacles, the internal and external obstacles that inevitably will come upon all of us. His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj wrote a beautiful book about caring for Vaishnavas, wherein he has documented with quotes of Srila Prabhupada, what a prominent, essential necessity it is for our spiritual progress. To love a Vaishnav is to love Krishna. To be envious of a Vaishnav is to be envious of Krishna. Rup Narayan got a major part of his education here in Pune. But his education actually culminated when he associated with Vaishnavas like Jiva Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur and learned the art of being the humble servant of the servant of the servant. The ultimate aspiration that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Let us pray for that. And let us strive for that. And Krishna will take our prayers seriously when we strive to put them into action. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. Then, when we chant the holy names together, a shower of love of God will fill our hearts and purify the world. Hare much louder, please.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Try to chant 10 million times louder, please. Try to follow the footsteps of Shamananda Goswami when Sher Khan was beating up all of his devotees. And with a helpless cry, let us fill the creation with the holy names. Thank you very much. He will be here this afternoon and tomorrow also. Give him a chance to rest. Vaishnav Seva means to care even for our superiors. Is that all right, Maharaj? We should lovingly take care of our superiors. And if we do, our superiors will take loving care of us. So, Niranjan Maharaj, please take loving care of us. Is it time for prasad? Guru Puja. I'm sorry, yes, Guru Puja.